doing? Well, quit, because time for happy home. She'd drag up the chair. You wouldn't run over to the fireplace or anything like that today. Kind of a pretty day around. But you could bring it over closer to the radio, because Norma Young's on hand. And just talking with her a few moments ago, she's just bursting with information today.
You
be careful now.
I will.
Well, it's happy home time. Chuck, we just kind of kid around a little bit to begin with. Norma comes on with all the serious stuff.
Mm, not always, Professor. Not always, no.
No.
No, not enough. When you're around.
What's cooking, honey child?
Now you just run along. And how are you? And what a difference today is than what it was yesterday. Oh, when I got up this morning and I saw the sunshine, I thought, well, I guess I'll have to get out there with a hose and do a little watering around on the garden and try to get them to bloom, too. I don't know if you've had to do what I've had to do this year, but you see, so many of my plants were frozen. And I did cut a great many of them right straight back, and what a joy it is now to see that they are sprouting from the roots. And last Saturday when I saw that my orchid tree was sprouting from the roots, I want you to know I certainly was very grateful. But this morning when I saw the sunshine out, I thought, well, I better get out there and get a little more water on them, because the slips that I had put in are pelargoniums that I was able to get. I do want them to grow, and I want them to bloom. And it is a great satisfaction in knowing that we can get them to bloom if we just take a little extra care of them. You recall, I think it was in February, I told about a meeting that was to be had at 600 South Normandy Avenue, that is 600 South Normandy, here at the Abbey Rents Auditorium, and it was for the Association of Practical Nurses. Well, apparently they are having another meeting on May the 6th, and in the letter that I just received from the secretary, she said that the Practical Nurse Association has become the largest in the state and that they expect to become the second district. So this is the meeting that they are to have. Everybody is invited. It's a free meeting, and it is for the Non-Registered Nurses Association. It is for the practical nurses in the state, not only the practical nurses, but the undergraduate nurses. And they want to become organized and work together to give the public better service. So if anyone listening in who is a practical nurse or an undergraduate nurse, remember that this meeting is this Friday night at 7:30 at 600 South Normandy Avenue. I think it's nice to know about these meetings, because sometimes when you're on a case, you don't get to know about them. And it is well to know what the association is endeavoring to do when you belong to an association such as this is. So remember, Friday night, 7:30 at 6 p.m. At a little gathering we had the other evening regarding a product that we wanted to know more about, when it came to serving the refreshments, one of the ladies turned to me and said, "Don't tell me that you have still fruitcake left, or did you bake this especially for this affair?" Well, for a moment, you know, I was rather taken back, because I bake fruitcake just once a year. And then I knew what she meant, for you see, we had served the Venus date nut loaf, topping it with whipped cream, and it did taste like fruitcake. You can see how versatile the Venus date nut loaf can be when it can be cut into thick, generous slices, topped with perhaps a bit of apricot or peach jam or puree, then the whipped cream, and served as a dessert. Or you can even cut it in cubes and put it into your sherbet glasses. I can well understand why she thought she was getting fruitcake, for the Venus date nut loaf that I've been telling you about, well, about half of its weight is the Deglet Nora dates that are grown right here in California. Then, in addition to that, it has pecans, specially blended spices, vegetable shortening, eggs, milk, and flour, baked slowly in a wax container, cooled, then wrapped in a foil, which makes it very easy to locate at the grocer's, either at the bread or the cake and the cookie counter. Venus date nut loaf costs only 35 cents a loaf, and it is wonderful for sandwiches, or for that snack that all children love when they come home from school, and for dessert, just try what I've told you about. All grocers, both independent and chain, do carry the Venus date nut loaf. The report I had this morning from Martha Logan gave me the best buys in the meat. And I have another best buy for you, too. But pork shoulder and smoked ham are very good right now. I think, too, you'll find that almost all the stores have special prices on the processed cheese, the 2-pound loaves that you can usually get. Boiling beef is very good. A pot and chuck roast in the beef, and fryers. and bacon is quite fair. Now, in the boiling beef, I don't know how many of you have ever had boiled beef with horseradish sauce, but in the boiling of the beef, to that beef, and be sure that you're going to cover it with warm water, with boiling water, because you want all the good juice to be retained in the beef. If you wanted to make soup, then you would add cold water rather than boiling water. And then to that I would add an onion. I'd add a little bay leaf if you like it, maybe some celery tops, so that it gives the beef good flavor. Then at the end of the time of the boiling, and allow 30 minutes per pound, but not at a fast boil, just let it just simmer. Take some of that broth and make a gravy, and to that gravy add horseradish. That's what we call boiled beef with horseradish sauce. And now that would not be a brown gravy, it would be a light gravy. Sometimes people, too, just take the horseradish, they boil the beef, put it on the platter, and then they take cream cheese and whip cream cheese, and into the cream cheese they whip the grated horseradish, and that is lovely. Then they put it back in the refrigerator, and when you serve it, you can just cut it right straight down in slices. And, of course, because it is cold, and then when you put it on the hot meat, you can understand that it just melts so nicely, and it is wonderful. So remember, the best buys for this week are pork shoulder and smoked ham, your processed cheese, boiling beef, the pot and chuck roasts, and then the fryers, and bacon is just there. But I did have a call, too, this morning telling me about strawberries. In fact, they're putting up and preserving strawberries right now. In fact, I think they've been getting some very good buys, about 15 cents a box, they said. And in the getting and in the purchasing of strawberries, especially those that you're going to put up and going to preserve, do not get the largest strawberries. Get the medium-sized strawberries. You'll find that they're so much better. And just in case you did not get the recipe that I gave you the other day, it's for 2 boxes of strawberries, 5 cups of sugar, and 1/2 cup of lemon juice. That's 2 boxes of strawberries, 5 cups of sugar, and 1/2 cup of lemon juice. But the secret of having strawberries when you preserve them and having strawberries all through the jar is this. Always wash the strawberries first, then hull them. Put them into a kettle, add the sugar, and let the sugar stay on that for about 1/2 hour. You see what happens then? The sugar rather dissolves. Then put it on to boil, but never use more than 2 boxes of strawberries at a time. Put it on to boil and skim off the scum as it comes to the top, but account 8 minutes from the time it starts to boil. Then, at the end of the 8 minutes, add 1/2 cup of lemon juice. You see what that'll do? That'll reduce the temperature. Then when it again boils, boil 2 more minutes. Now here is the trick. Pour this into a shallow pan, not a metal pan. Either use glass or crockery or use enamel. And pour that into that. And every time you go by it, just gently stir it back and forth with your wooden spoon. And let it stand for about 8 to 10 hours. Now, it is not necessary to, again, reheat that, but have your jars hot, have them sterilized and have them hot, and then put that into the jars and seal. I like to use a regular screw lid on those, on the jars that I put up of the strawberries, rather than the wax. And you'll find that when you do that, that the strawberries are all the way through that lovely syrup. And you see, the lemon juice will just jelly that syrup a little. Now, this is what you can do. I said not to cook more than 2 boxes at a time, but you can cook many 2 boxes and pour them into this great big shallow dish if it's large enough. But don't double the recipe in the cooking time, because if you do, you are not going to have good success. But the strawberries are well now, right? But they are wonderful right now, and the water content is not too high, which is something that I think will please almost all of you. You know, for a while when they first come, you'll find that strawberries are quite watery. And when they're very watery, they are not good in the preserving. Inasmuch as this is suggestion day, Mrs. Cutler gave this suggestion about strawberries. She says, wash and stem the strawberries, and then put an empty cheese glass or jar in the center of the bowl upside down. The water collects in the jar or on the glass, and then you see, I suppose you can take the strawberries out. But I have found that if I'll just wash the berries and then hull them, and put them into a colander. Now, do not hull strawberries first and then wash them, because if you do, you're going to lose an awful lot of that good juice, and you don't want to do that. If you want to make strawberry jam, Then remember, you use 3/4 as much sugar as you have fruit, and never use more than 6 cups of fruit at a time. Mash the strawberries or cut them up, and then mash the fruit into them, and then cook them until it's as thick as you like it. But I think right now when strawberries are as good as they are, oh, don't you love strawberry shortcake? You know, I love strawberry shortcake made with biscuit dough, don't you? And whenever I do make strawberry shortcake with a biscuit dough, I always put the two biscuits together. And then in between the two biscuits, I put a generous piece of butter or margarine and bake them that way. Then I can just separate them, put the strawberries in between and on top. And I guess maybe I do add a few extra calories, but I think it's worth it if you just do that a couple times a year. But it is good. You know, I think one of the most potent slogans of today is never underestimate the power of a woman. No, the power of the magazine that a woman believe in, that women believe in. And what is that magazine? It's a ladies' home journal. And never underestimate the power that parents have over the mental health of their children. In the May issue of the Ladies' Home Journal, learn how childish nightmares and temper tantrums may be your fault, and worse, may be symptoms of a possible nervous breakdown later on. What other familiar traits in your youngster may indicate mental illness? Well, and what simple old home remedy can you give your child now to keep him happy and well-balanced all through life? No parent, no adult, should miss Jean Younger's penetrating and provocative article entitled Mental Illness Begins at Home. It is in the May issue of the Ladies' Home Journal, the magazine that more women buy than any other magazine. And if you are not a subscriber, get your copy at the newsstand today. I think the Ladies' Home Journal would be a wonderful gift for Mother on Mother's Day, now don't you? And then, too, in the May issue of the Ladies' Home Journal, the pictures of the Ladies' Home Journal workshop are something that you will want to see. You'll see there how they take the food pictures, how they try out this and how they try out that, and it's just wonderful. It is nice to have all these suggestions, I think, now don't you? Well, I've got some other suggestions here that have come in from our listeners, and it's always nice to have them come in. You know, Wednesday is suggestion day, and Tuesday is question day, so we hope you'll get your questions in for next Tuesday. Tomorrow is interview day, although I must admit that many times we have interviews more than just on Thursday. Tomorrow our guest will be Miss Dorothy Leahy of the University of California, UCLA. You see, Miss Leahy is in charge of the Home Economic Department for the university. She is a newcomer here, and I know she has many, many new ideas that she wants to incorporate in this department. And so we hope you'll be listening. For Mrs. Leslie H. Mayer out Englewood Way, here are some of her suggestions. She says if you'll soak a clean cloth in strong salt water, then wrap cheese in this cloth, then wax paper, and keep it in the refrigerator, it will not mildew. I have tried the vinegar, and the vinegar will prevent the mildewing for a time, but even at that, it still does mildew. And I have found of late that cutting up the cheese and putting it into a glass jar, as one listener suggested, and keeping the cover on has done more for me in the preventing of getting this cheese or having this cheese mildew than any other remedy I've ever had, and I've enjoyed that very much. Then Miss Mary says to keep the lids from falling into the can when opening it, do not cut clear around. Have a single small space that is not cut, and then you can lift it up. Also, she says, in rinsing clothes, one warm water will rinse more soap out than several cold water rinsing. And how true that is, because cold water, you see what it does, it tightens the weave of the material. And when that is done, well, then the soap suds just can't get out. So always try and rinse your clothes in as warm a water as you can. I mean, you don't have to have it hot, but you'd be surprised what that warm water will do. Then, Mrs. Heinzing has called in and so many, many times. In fact, it was she, Heisinger the name is, it was she who had a kitty cat that she said almost percolated or purred so loud that it sounded like a little motor. Well, she said she learned this for her, well, I guess maybe the hard way. You know, so many of us have to learn some of these things in homemaking the hard way. But she says whenever she washes curtains that are to be starched and to dry on a stretcher, she washes the curtains, starches them, and then dries them on a line. After they're dry, then she takes them down and sprinkles them, then puts them on the stretcher. She says in that way it's so much easier to work with, and she likes it so much better. So I think that's wonderful to get a suggestion like that, because I think you'll find so many times that if the curtains are starched and then you try to put them on the stretcher, it isn't always such an easy job. They get very, very brittle somehow, and who wants a brittle curtain? I know I don't, and I don't think you do either. You know, today I want to congratulate Mrs. Ivan Jones of Monrovia, California, as being one of the three winners this week in the Flax-Tex rug contest that is now going on. And I would like to spell that. That is F-L-A-X-T-E-X. And wouldn't you be happy if sometime while this contest is on, I could mention your name as being a winner? Of course you would, for I have yet to find anyone who isn't more than pleased when they are the winner of any contest. The Flax-Tex rug contest is so simple and is about one of the easiest contests that I've ever heard about. In the first place, you don't have to purchase a thing. You don't even have to work out a puzzle. But all you have to do is to go to your nearest Flax-Tex rug dealer and see those lovely all-linen Flax-Tex rugs made in the cheerful California colors, and note their rugged wearability that is so perfectly suited to today's living and to our today's tempo. And while there, get an entry blank, and then in 25 words or less, finish this sentence. My next rug will be a Flax-Tex rug because. Send in the entry blank to the address given on the entry blank. And you'll find, too, that the official entry blank gives you a suggestion or two as well that will help you. You have three chances a week to win, and of course, I hope you will. Now, those in the neighborhood of West Los Angeles will find a splendid display of all Flax-Tex rugs at the Westwood Carpet Company, 1246 Westwood Boulevard. Again, may I repeat that? It's the Westwood Carpet Company, 1246 Westwood Boulevard, and in addition to, you'll find the Flax-Tex rugs at many other leading rug dealers everywhere. Again, I want to spell that name for you. It is F-L-A-X-T-E-X. So why not try to be a winner? You know, it is fun trying, I think, and it would be nice to mention your name as a winner. AIDS are very, very plentiful, which we've been hearing right straight along from all government reports, and I think all of us are happy. But I know many of you would like to know how to put down AIDS in water glass. It's a very, very simple method, and we do have a method that has been recommended by the Office of State Homes Demonstration at the College of Agriculture at Berkeley. We have this all mimeographed, and you may have a copy of this, putting down eggs in water glass, if you'll send a stamp address envelope to Norma Young at KHJ Hollywood 28. Please, ladies, remember, won't you, to send a stamp whenever you want any recipes or any of these pamphlets. We do want you to have them, but we must ask that you have a stamp included. You can either send a stamp if you don't have another envelope, or send the envelope with a stamp on it. Whatever it is will be quite all right with us, just as long as we have the stamp. From Mrs. Lila Hocking here in Los Angeles, here is a suggestion. She says, when raising yeast dough, place a bowl containing the dough over a pan of hot water. I use a cake cooler over the pan first. The water must not be boiling. And I have used this hot water method very, very often, and it has always been successful. I do hope this will help someone else. Now, remember, the pan has the hot water, and then she puts a cake cooler on the top, and then on the cake cooler, you see, she puts the bowl with the dough in it. Because if you have too hot water and then put the dough over it, you're going to cook that dough before you want to, and that's something that goodness knows you just don't want to do. From another one of our friends, Beatrice Staple, right here in Los Angeles, too. She says this is the following recipe for a chocolate cake of which she has found no equal, and so she'd like to share it with others. I think that's grand. Sometimes I feel badly when homemakers have a special recipe and then somebody asks them for it, and they give it to them, but they don't always give it to them accurately. They leave out one little thing. You know, that just isn't fair. Not at all. Now, I can understand why you don't want to give it if you earn your living with that. That's why I never like to ask any of our cake people or any of our pickle people or mayonnaise people for their recipe. In fact, I don't. I've had my ears turned back too often after a while. Those poor ears kind of wear out. So I never ask them for the recipe if they make a livelihood. If they want to give it to me, fine and good. But this chocolate cake, I remember making one very much like it many years ago, and it is delicious. Here it is. You cook 1/2 cup of milk and 2 squares of chocolate together until the chocolate and the milk are all blended, and then set that aside to cool. Now that's 2 squares of chocolate and 1/2 cup of milk. Now, if you want to use ground chocolate, then you would use 1/2 cup. And to put 1/2 cup of chocolate into the saucepan, add 1/2 cup of milk, blend it all together, and cook it until it's thick, and then set it aside to cool. Just remember that 1 square of chocolate is equivalent to 4 tablespoons. Then cream 1/3 cup of shortening and 1 cup of sugar. Now, I have an idea. You could either use granulated or brown sugar. And if you do use brown sugar, be sure it is packed well in the cup. Add 2 eggs, one at a time. Have sifted together 1 1/2 cups of flour with 1 teaspoon of soda. There is no baking powder in this. Have sifted together 1 1/2 cups of flour with 1 teaspoon of soda. And add this alternately to the creamed mixture with 1/2 cup of milk, beginning with flour and ending with flour. Then add 1 teaspoon of vanilla and the chocolate and milk mixture. Bake in 2 8-inch layers at 350 for about 25 to 30 minutes, or 1 loaf or 1 square at 325 for about 40 minutes. Test it and see if it's done. Now go back to be sure that you have it all. You're going to cook 1 1/2 cup of milk with 2 squares of chocolate, and I would grate the chocolate so that it would lessen the time for it to melt in the milk. Cook it until it's thick, and then set it aside to cool. Cream 1/3 cup of shortening and 1 cup of sugar, and you can use either the white or the brown. I don't know what Miss Staple uses. Add 2 eggs, 1 at a time, beating well. Have sifted 1 1/2 cups of flour with 1 teaspoon of soda, and then add that alternately with 1/2 cup of milk, beginning with the flour and ending with the flour. Add 1 teaspoon of vanilla, and then the chocolate mixture. And bake in 2 8-inch layers at 350, or 1 loaf or 1 square at 325. And if you use a loaf or a square, I certainly would suggest that you line it with wax paper. Be sure you line it with wax paper. It's so much easier to get out. Oft times when a woman or a man are painting, you know, they put on gloves. It is a protection. So may I suggest that when you do use Wipe-On, the magic liquid plastic protector, if you are using a lint-free cloth to put it on with the furniture, whatever you're using, that if you do not wear a pair of the cloth gloves, that you first put cold cream or a hand lotion on your hands. The reason for this is this. Wipe-On will not adhere to anything that has oil or grease on it. So while the Wipe-On will adhere to the furniture you put it on, it will not adhere to your hands. And then when you're through going over the pieces of furniture or brass or copper with Wipe-On, all you have to do is to wash off the hand lotion and your hands will be all right. But if for any reason you have overlooked doing that, then may I suggest that when you are through using Wipe-On and you know there is some on your hands, then either take a paint thinner or turpentine and pour a little on the hands and rub them. This removes all trace of the plastic Wipe-On. One lady telephoned in and said that she had used a nail polish remover on her hands because she had no turpentine, and the Wipe-On came off immediately. You see, Wipe-On does have the tenacity of a bulldog, which we want, especially when we put it on furniture and floors. But then we do not want that tenacity to stay on it. We don't want that much of a tenacity for our hands when we have Wipe-On on it. Wipe-On costs 59 cents a half pint, $1.98 a quart, or $5.98 a gallon. And you can get Wipe-On at grocery, variety, drugstore, paint, linoleum, household sections of department stores, and then we have a complete list of stores out of town. We're living out of town. Won't you drop us a card if you haven't been able to get it? And we'll be very happy to give you the name and address of a store in your locality. Every once in a while, something happens that sort of, well, makes you sit up and take notice. And did I sit up and take notice when I had this report from the Department of Agriculture about meringues? Because it is just, well, my apple cart has been completely overturned. And I want to read to you what they say. And this came from the New York State Experiment Station. You and I know that meringue has for a long, long time been a mystery, even to experienced cooks and pie makers. It may be soft and fluffy as a cloud when the pie goes into the oven, and get quite different when it reaches a dinner table. Familiar troubles are shrinkage, weeping, waterness underneath, stickiness, which makes cutting rather difficult, toughness, and beading, small moisture droplets over the surface. Well, the recent meringue-making studies reported by the New York State Experiment Station may help cooks avoid these difficulties. And secret of fine-quality meringue revealed in these tests are whipping egg whites and sugar to just the right stiffness, placing meringue on a hot filling, now get this, and baking at 425 for 4 to 4.5 minutes. Remember, too, never use eggs that have just come out of the refrigerator. So for tender, moist meringue, able to hold its high fluffiness, the right amount of whipping is important. And in the test, best resulted came from this method. Have the whites at room temperature. Add a pinch of salt for each white. Beat until the foam is relatively fine and forms round peaks when the beater is lifted out. Then add the sugar gradually, 2 tablespoons for each white, and continue beating until the meringue is stiff but not dry. Meringues baked on hot fillings in the test cooked more evenly and were less likely to weep than those baked on a cold pie. And I get that. I want you to know I haven't been able to get over this yet. And baking at 425 for 4 to 4.5 minutes proved more protection against leakage than baking at lower heat at a longer time. So there you have it. 4 to 4.5 minutes, and it's all right to put the meringue in a hot filling. But you still use 2 tablespoons of sugar for every egg white. I can hardly wait till this weekend so I can try this. It isn't very often that we find Venetian blinds, you know, in a kitchen. But if they are there, it is quite understandable that they do get more than their share of grease because of the cooking. A lady telephoned in the other day and said that she was always perplexed about these blinds, for she wanted them to be clean, but the task of washing them was something she did not always relish. Hearing me tell about Glim, the magic liquid for greaseless dishwashing, she thought, well, why not try it on the blinds? It can't hurt them. She used the same proportion I tell you to use when washing dishes, and that is 1 cap full of Glim to a dishpan or sink full of dishes. Then she went over the blinds with this, and before she realized that the grease had disappeared and her blinds were lovely and clean, she rinsed them, too, with clear water. Of course, the main purpose of Glim is to tell homemakers everywhere that by using it, dishwashing time is cut in half, that it is economical, and for the measuring spoon for Glim is the top or the cap on the bottle. One of those caps is enough for a pan full or a sink full of dishes. And Glim leaves no greasy line in the dishpan. Look for Glim, and if your grocer does not have it, won't you let us have his name, because you want both you and the grocer to enjoy using Glim. So, until tomorrow, when we will have an interview, this is Norma Young saying adios.
By Uncle Deuce. This is the Mutual Don Lee Broadcasting System. KHJ and KHJ-FM, the Don Lee stations, Los Angeles.